This is the WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Coco, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're heard online everywhere on the World Wide Web. And Danny is trying to wreck the place. Throw his phone all over the floor on right here in the studio.
Danny, that's why we can't have nice things.
Danny the Menace.
That's why we can't have nice things. But yes, we have heard listeners all over the World Wide Web on 1510 WWBC. You can hit that listen live button right there and listen on any one of your listening devices that you have. Or if you'd like to hear us after the show airs, again, which is each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can look at those archives, check out any one of the shows that are there under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, we share all of that on our Facebook page and on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. And after so many years, so many fantastic guests, you can actually search on our Sita Media Inc. page. You can just search for a name or search for a topic, and that information will come up. So
it's
fantastic.
Great to
guests.
Have you back. We missed you last week.
I missed being here last
week. Yeah, you're part of us. You know, as long as God give us the health and the strength to continue with our show, you're part of it.
Amen.
And Allie, thank you for filling in. So,
oh,
Ellen
sure.
O'Neill is back. Danny's running our board. And our friend Allie Tamber, who we call our resident guest. No longer resident guest. She's part of the show.
She's part of the
but
show.
But it sounds so that's cute right. when you say the resident guest.
Oh, I like it now.
Yeah. That's her title. That's her title.
We can give her governor or sheriff or something.
Sure. Yeah. What a great show we're going to have today. I can just feel it in my old bones. So as usual, you know, we always have people that seek us out, or I reach out to our guests who were on the show before to call in or come in person and sit with us. And today our guests are going to be calling in. You remember Andre Osechi?
I do.
He had called in a couple of times and spoke about his song Marching Into the Light, and he also has a Facebook page. He's an award-winning Colombian-American writer, a film director, a composer, and so much more. And he's going to be calling in to speak about how he's helping refugees. He made a new song to help the victims of war and people fleeing in Ukraine.
Yes.
And he will talk a little bit about how he got involved in helping refugees, immigration reform, and just being an all-around good citizen, right?
That's right. And we'll only be able to hear a snippet of the song because the actual release is not until February 24th. So we won't be able to release the whole song, but we'll be able to play a little segment of it.
Right. And our second segment will be with Dr. Ann Lewis. She is a very proud and gifted mental health professional, and she will speak later with us about gratitude and that gratitude can be spiritual, it can heal your heart, it can help you in so many ways in your life. And so she's going to talk to us about some of the counseling she's doing and what gratitude means to her. So she'll call in a second segment from Fort Lauderdale.
And she's got a great podcast, too, that we'll make sure we get out to everybody because it's a great great little uplifting, you know, things to think about.
Right. And so we'll talk to her in the second segment. And so I think Andreas Osechi is on the phone. And like I said before, he's done so many great things for humanity. He was at the inauguration for President Obama way back in 2012. And we've had him on the show before when we talked about immigration reform. So I think he's on the phone now, and we're going to say a quick hello to him before we play a little snippet of his song.
That's right.
I listened to the song this morning, and it's so uplifting. It's like, oh my gosh, the video that they have for the actual YouTube show,
the preview, yeah.
It just takes you into the war zone, and it shows you what we should be doing as humanity to help these people in Ukraine. So, Andres Oseshi, thank you for taking the time to wake up early and call in Eastern Time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hi, Sita. It's great to be back. It's good to hear you, and I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. So, Ellen and I have the song, and we'd like
to give us a little preview of what you, how you wrote it, and what you were feeling when you wrote it. It's such a moving song.
Oh, thank you very much. I was very hurt by seeing the suffering that's going on, and I knew that it was a very unjust war, that Russia was invading and causing all this pain for no reason other than greed, and that we as people who appreciate anybody who supports freedom, who supports the dignity of human life, and who supports the sovereignty and the right to self-rule, for a country who supports democracy and the right for everyone to choose their own leaders, should stand up against it. So, you know, I had done some work with refugees before, and I reached out and I wanted to tell the story of the people that I knew and who were suffering and who were also incredibly brave, resisting, and also among the refugees because of their strength and how they were inspiring the rest of the world to collaborate. I just wanted to add my voice. So that's why I wrote this song.
Yeah, and you know, the song is called
Sunflowers in the Night.
It's so fitting that, because when you think of sunflowers, you do think of peace, you think of the sun, you think of people being happy, you think of people walking in a street and they're free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we're going to listen to 30 seconds of it. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
I saw their smiles when they built a home before the war, before the noise, the rumbling sky, before the sirens called up to
So there's a little preview of the song and the pictures and the video that go along with this. And I understand it's not going to be formally released until February 24th, correct?
Yeah,
you're going to have
right.
like a big
it's,
preview?
It's going to be 1 year after the cruel invasion of Ukraine by Russia.
Yeah, thank you for allowing Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to be part of the release of this song and for giving us a preview. We feel very privileged, Andres. We really do.
Yes, I wanted to say, in case you can queue it up for a little bit later, we get a chance to hear the chorus where I speak about the sunflowers in the night, because it's a very, there is sadness in the song, but there's also, hopefully, that bit of light that they're moving towards, you know, because they've been so brave, and the chorus speaks to that. I use the phrasing, you know, the phrase, sunflowers in the night, because it turns out that during the night, sunflowers, the actual flowers, keep moving through the night so that they're ready for the first light of dawn. And I feel that's what everybody should do through tragedy, and that's what they're so bravely doing, is they keep moving and they keep moving and they will see the light of victory, and we're rooting for them.
Well, it seems as though your push for immigration reform and helping human beings on the borders have gone to a next level, because now you're helping in other countries as well. So I thank you so much, because you inspire so many of us. I remember when we listened to you when you wrote Marching Into the Light, and so many of us, you and myself and all so many activists, we were all hoping by now to have concrete immigration reform, to see something done about the southern border. And all of this, it just leads to that song, what you just did, because it is who you are, Andres. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved by being an activist?
Oh, thank you. So, I'm very fortunate, blessed that I had, I have my father, both my father and my mom were very socially conscious, and they also encouraged me a lot in the arts. My dad is a psychologist. My mom is a social worker. And since I was a kid, I was, you know, drawing comics and writing comics, and I made that sort of started my professional life in a way very, very early on. And it was when I came to the States that I realized that I could use that to try to speak and to support not only my community, but everybody that was fighting for better conditions for immigrants, which, as everybody knows, you know, this country was founded by immigrants, and it's very strong, important part of our identity. So the, not only Marching Into the Light, but the song Dream to Belong, which is in support of Dreamers and DACA and the Dream Act, and then the other one, The Flame You Keep, was one about precisely all of us trying to hold up that flame, which means hope, the flame of the Statue of Liberty. It is up to all of us that we live up to those ideals of being a welcoming society, and to help people who are fleeing war and famine, you know, every time that we can.
And you know what, Andrews, where are we missing the message to tell other people why human beings leave the land in which they were born in and flee? I've had extensive conversations with people about the root causes of why people flee, things like violence and wars and climate control and environmental policies and terrible governments. And so many people still look me right in the eye and say, well, they shouldn't be coming here. Where are we losing the message that humans should be kind and look out for each other and allow people to apply for the asylum process? What can you tell us about the messaging, and how can we reach more people?
It's, you know, that's a question that consumes my life, because one would think that we all are, you know, we all have friends, we all have fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters. We have families. We understand that all humans have a desire to take care of their own, and that we ourselves would sacrifice a lot just to ensure the safety of their loved ones. That is something that everybody can relate to. What we have to do, I guess, is stand against those forces of bigotry and division who want to turn us into numbers, who don't want us to think about individuals and what a life means. They want us to think of statistics, right? And to think of the world as us versus them, and those others are different from my family, of all families. And we are a beautiful, diverse country that, you know, that has is being made up by, you know, the British that came, the Irish and the Italians, and people from Asia and from all over the world, people who had been enslaved and were brought here against their will as well. So we sort of have that bigotry and that DNA in ourselves as well, in this country, is what I mean. So we have to fight against that by pushing towards the light, towards the fundamental ideas that's so beautiful, and what has attracted people around the world to this country is that idea of freedom, you know, the liberty, the opportunity. Do we really believe that? So we should definitely keep fighting for that. And when we communicate to speak about people, just people and how we can see people. People have different faiths, but almost every faith in the world wants us to be compassionate to others.
Right, and
to people
and President,
so we just have to live by both.
Right, and President Biden is doing his best to restore humanity and American values to the immigration system, and he has been pushing to have a bill in Congress, but he's getting a lot of pushback, even from the people that claims that life is so precious, that they value mm-hmm. life. It's almost mm-hmm. as though so many people run for office, and they absolutely, for some reason, they forget that those tiny little babies that they support in a mother's womb, they grow up to be human beings who have needs and wants and just wants an education and an opportunity. So where are we missing that point to the people who are elected that, listen, nobody flees something that's good. No one flees a good marriage, a good neighborhood, a good school, a good country. Something is wrong when so many people risk their lives through treacherous journeys and dangerous treks to come to the United States only to be told, you're not welcome. So how do we get more politicians to get on board that, yes, we understand certain people shouldn't come here. We understand that, but at the same time, you're turning away mothers and children and fathers who want to have a life and opportunity.
Yes, from a concrete point of view, we need the votes in the House and the Senate to pass the bills. And to get those votes, people who care, people with good hearts who are compassionate, have to ask themselves, do we have leaders who lead with compassion? Really, be honest about it. Do we have really leaders who are looking out for everybody instead for their own economic interests and just out of greed? A lot of people got into the bandwagon, hungry for power with Trump, and are following that, and that became the Republican Party. Before, there were people who were on the fence who might be allies even in the Republican Party. That's not the Republican Party today. They're sort of led by what I feel is not the most humane position towards most issues. And so for people, the other concrete way to change this is we, the people who believe in justice, in the ideals of this country, and who want a compassionate country to live in, are we doing enough? Are we doing everything we can to make sure that the people that are elected to Congress, who are elected to the Senate, are going to stand up for those values? Because the opposition is very active, and they use fear and bigotry and discrimination to turn us against each other as humans, and they've been very effective at that for a long time. And people who are against that and who want to think of the world as a whole, which it is, have to stand up and fight for that, for compassionate leaders, and we have to get them elected so that those sort of bills can pass. If we don't do that, and if we don't expose the truth, and if we don't talk about people and fight for the dignity to live, then we're always going to be coming up against this roadblock in the Senate and in the House.
Well, you know, the sad thing is, at the end of the day, most reasonable people, they do want to see a smart border. They do want to see the border controlled. They want to see technology, and they want to see resources poured into the infrastructure at the border. Most people want people to come to the United States legally. But at the same time, people with a compassionate heart can understand those who are coming and want a better life. So do you think it's because of messaging that we're not getting both sides to sit down and look at the immigrants who wants to come? Not everybody is coming here with drugs and to hurt people. And this is a talking point that I've seen and heard so many times, that people would say, well, they're bringing drugs and they're bringing fentanyl and they're coming here to kill people. And you know, how do we get each side to sit down and understand that at the end of the day, we want the same things?
It's hard when people don't want to look at the facts. And a lot of people, you know, have been turned against legitimate news sources and embrace, you know, very, very close loops of misinformation and propaganda. You know, and Trump did a good job of saying, you know, the great newspapers of our time, which have been around for ages and have reported so well for so long, like, you know, the New York Times and the Post, just to mention a couple, you know, they're all lies, and I am the one who's saying the truth, even though he lies, he contradicts himself even in the same interview sometimes. So people can see the lies. I think people just... sometimes they believe what they want to believe, and it's very painful for us when the lives of people are on the line. I try to use music and images to try to get over the hurdle, and I aspire to try to reach people on their feelings, but you also have to recognize that some people don't want to hear the truth. It is the truth. This is a statistical truth, and if people want to research it, they can find out that most immigrants in the United States commit way less crime than people who have been born here and that have been here for generations. It is also a statistical fact that it's accurate to say that seeking asylum is a legal human right. They want to make it as if it's something new that's happening, or there are these waves of, and they refer to human people as if they were zombies. You know, they want to make it about this. No, it's people who need help, who are looking for help, and who can go through the legal process of reaching a position where they can ask for asylum. They could be denied asylum, they could be accepted, and it's very strict a process. What we cannot do is surrender to the kind of folks who use that population as a punching bag, you know, just to get more.
Yeah, votes. As a political pawn. I mean, yeah. I had this discussion.
Defense, you know?
I had this discussion Saturday with someone, and they said, President Biden has opened up the borders, and he's bringing all these illegals in, and the drugs are coming, and this is why Governor DeSantis is sending people from Florida back to the red states, and you guys need to be careful. And I'm like, where are you getting your information? Where are you? I said, are you not noticing how many people applied for asylum and did not, that they were rejected, that they were not approved? And this person said, no, they were not. He's letting them all in. And that's why we are having all these situations with people being sent to red states. Now, you've seen where Governor DeSantis sent people to different states, and you went to help. So talk to us a little bit about your human heart, your compassionate heart, to follow the people that were sent from the state of Florida to other states, and that you went there to help.
Yes, really. It has to do with anybody who wants to help. You know, they can find usually there are local organizations. Here's the Rapid Response Network. There are great people that you can meet who are doing their best to just show up. And, you know, in my case, I could contribute with my language because I speak Spanish. A lot of people don't know what to do, and they're just being dropped on the street. You know, they could freeze. They could be starving. They can be confused. A lot of them are suspicious because they've been through so much to get here, and suddenly they're a state that they have no idea that they were supposed to be. And we may have some help federally, but also we have to make sure that every city and every county is taking advantage of those resources to make sure that people are sheltered, that we make sure that they're healthy. You know, it's good for health as a community to know that those people are vaccinated, and to help them find shelter so that they're not left out on the street, so they can follow the legal procedure of asking for asylum, and that they go through the paces. If his solution is just to say, oh yeah, we're so humane, we're just going to send people somewhere else because these people are tools for us to use for a political purpose, we have to stand up against that and just act like human beings and act like the faith. You know, many people profess different faiths that are all about helping our brother,
Andre,
and our sisters.
This is you know? Allie. Hi. I was thinking and asking, how do we manage migration then? How do we stop the influx that's so huge and manage it better? You know, we're talking about we need to send them somewhere else. Well, then that takes preempting them coming into our country to speak to them down somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm. Everyone around the world, I mean, those are the human rights. That includes asking for asylum. So
yes.
We have to start from that baseline, right? Now, if you really want to go into why they're asking for asylum and how to prevent people from being in that dire situation, that's when a nation like ours, which is the biggest country on earth economically, who can do and has done oftentimes so much for other nations, can work in creating a more stable society and help stabilize other countries, find why they are the way they are. Sometimes we have a responsibility there because we have been part of policies, we as a country, and I know because I have dual citizenship, and I know the effect of political deals where some countries whose own national resources have been exploited, you know, by the United States in deals that were completely disproportionately disadvantageous to countries like Colombia. And this has happened throughout the world for a long time. And it's not about blaming people, but about recognizing we all have responsibility. We all have a common goal, which is the betterment of our world as a whole. So we need to collaborate in a very smart way and lead with compassion and be practical about things. You will find in this country a lot of people, there are a lot of jobs that a lot of people don't want to do, and immigrants are the ones working those jobs. And this economy works in a large part because we have that immigrant community doing that work.
Yeah, well, it's like an engine, right? If you go into any hospital, mm-hmm. you'll see the immigrants cleaning the rooms. I mean, even during COVID, they didn't speak English, but they were dressed in full apparatus, you know, to get into the rooms so that they can be isolated and help take care of patients. You'll be seeing them everywhere. But Andres, you know, President Biden is talking about through the Immigration Act that they're trying to get through to Congress to embrace diversity, to promote immigrant and refugee integration and citizenship, to grow the economy. He's also talking about cracking down on criminal organizations and addressing the root causes of migration. And a lot of people don't pay attention to the bill and they say he's not doing anything. But I know that they're trying their best to do what's right for the United States and for the people who are coming in. So we have about 2 minutes left before we play a little bit of your song. Can you talk to our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about addressing the root causes and how we can help people in their countries so that they don't have to come here?
Yes, it's a complex question because it's very broad, right? We're speaking about many different countries. South America, obviously, we have to help those countries that are not corrupt and sort of sanction countries. You know, you've seen what's happening terribly tragically in Iran and in countries like Afghanistan, of course, what's happening to women. And the best way to help those countries is actually to sanction those governments in the strongest way possible, because there's no way to deal with what they're doing to their own people, and to make sure that we have allowed a good asylum seeking progress and improve it as much as possible, so those people fleeing can, you know, all women are being prevented from walking outside without a man, some women are being prevented from working at all, and so if they can't work, there's not going to be women doctors, but only women doctors could treat women, so how are they going to get their treatment? There is so much insanity going around the world that we have to be conscious of. And it starts with us caring, learning about it, reading the news, making sure that we put pressure on supporter leaders like President Biden who want to do something about it. Oftentimes, you know, it all comes down to bills and how they are passed. And for that, the president needs the support of the enough votes to pass laws. So we need to do our part and make sure that we remain engaged in elections, in local elections, and of course our state elections and Senate to the Congress, to make sure that we have the votes so that people can offer help, whether, you know, working with the government of Colombia right now, with the governments of Central America and Mexico to seek peace, you know, to look for peaceful solutions and to look for, to quell the violence that's growing, where there is injustice, where to provide a better economic pathways of opportunity. That is better for everyone across the globe if we have better. And the thing is that there is already so much wealth in the world. There is an incredible amount of wealth in the world. And sadly, there's a lot of poverty. So
yes,
we need to be smart about how that money, how we use that money.
Well, it always comes down to education and opportunities, right? And I know that in the bill that President Biden, the U.S. Citizenship Act, they're talking about stimulating the economy and ensuring that every worker is protected. The bill creates an earned path to citizenship for immigrant neighbors, colleagues, community leaders, friends, and also the dreamers. And I know we're getting short on time, but if somebody wanted to learn more about the work that you're doing to help not just the dreamers, but all the work that you're doing on the borders to help others, how can they contact you? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page? How can we be part of what you're doing to help our world and leave a better footprint behind?
Well, thank you. Yes, I do have a Facebook, and you could put, you know, facebook.com/Andres, followed by the number one, so Andres 1. And that's one way people can reach me, always email me with any questions. I'm also on Instagram, andres.buseche.g. I'm sure we can put these on the website and on for your show's website as well, just so people can find it easily at some point. And, of course, in YouTube, we're premiering the new video. You know, so if you look for Andres Buseche for my name, you'll probably find my work there.
Well, thank you so much. I know Ellen always talks about education and opportunities, and that seems to be the one thing that can help our world is to promote where every country can have governments that actually care about their citizens, because it's totally unfair for politicians to say one thing and do the other when it comes to their constituents. And Ellen, you're going to take it away from here.
Yep, and we love everything you do, Andres. Thank you so much for sharing that special song with us, and we will be looking forward to being able to post it as a, you know, as a, once you release it, we'll make sure we get it out to everyone. What a beautiful song, and thank you so much for sharing all your talent. We are going to take a quick station break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Thank you.
Andres, thank you so much.
Featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
When you
mattress
need medical care, are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at
There's
Jotkoff
something special
Financial
about
Group
the place
today.
We call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. Ellen O'Neill, my co-host, best co-host on the planet, is here with us. And our resident guest, Allie Tambor, is sitting in with us. She is here to join us and chat and co-host and learn and everything else. Thank you guys for being here.
We're here for you. And we're for all y'all.
Thank you. Our second guest is calling in now, and Dr. Anne Modi Lewis. She's a licensed mental health counselor and part of Anne Lewis and Associates PA in Fort Lauderdale. Our show is heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.5, and Ellen, online, everywhere.
That's right, on 1510 WWBC, you can hit that listen live button and you'll hear us on any listening device that you have. Or if you'd like to hear one of our archive shows, you can just hit the on demand and pick the date. You can also search on our website, cwmediainc.com, for topics and for guests that we've had.
Every time I try to change up my opening or my the middle of the show, like when we come back, then I screw it up. So I should just stick to the script.
Doing great. But anyway, Anne Modi Lewis, Dr. Anne Modi Lewis, will show up quite a few times because she's been a guest a few times on our show.
She's awesome.
She is awesome.
And today, what a great topic we chose today. Dr. Anne is going to talk to our listeners about gratitude. So Dr. Anne Modi Lewis, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your practice in Fort Lauderdale, and then we'll delve right into the subject of gratitude.
Okay, well, I'm a psychotherapist in Fort Lauderdale. I do healing psychology, which means that I talk to you about your life, because your life becomes the canvas upon which you live every day and every moment, how you interpret everything that happens to you. So in order for you to make progress in life, to find happiness and peace, you have to understand the circumstances of your life. Today, Sita and I discussed talking about gratitude. And gratitude is it's not a thing, it's an emotion. It is a characteristic of being human. It is characterized by people who are basically humble, meaning they don't expect anything. And when you expect nothing, everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. And you are deeply appreciative. It makes you very aware of other people. People who are grateful are more focused on other people than they are on themselves. They're appreciative because they expect nothing. They take a little and make it feel like it's an abundance. So in a way, it's very connected to our mental health, because we become more appreciative of life, more appreciative of one another, and makes us more peaceful, more content, more satisfied with life. Instead of condemning each other, we are grateful.
So gratitude is kind of like a relationship strengthening emotion?
It's an emotion, yes it is. It is attitudinal, it is an emotion, it is the way in which we see life. I want to say this, that there is a lot of entitlement in the world today. Entitlement means that we have expectations of other people that sometimes they don't know about, and they don't measure up to, and then we become disillusioned, and then we cut them off. And so we lose opportunities to appreciate one another. We lose opportunities to grow with one another. And so gratitude means that you minimize your expectations, that you are not coming into relationships with a whole list of entitlements. Now, that's a word that most people don't use. Entitlements mean that you feel that someone owes you.
Right.
They owe you something.
So how do we get people to get out of that type of thinking, that kind of funk? Because we have a lot of people that do cut people off from their lives, whether it's due to politics, whether it's something that they said when they were children, maybe a classmate, a neighbor. People do, you're absolutely correct, Dr. and Lewis. People do cut people off from their lives, and they don't go back to that person and try to make it up because for some reason they are expecting something from that person.
Yeah, I think that kind of leads us to a discussion about the importance of communication, because there inevitably are going to be disappointments in every relationship you've had, with your children, with your lover, your husband, your friends, your neighbors. There's always going to be disappointments. We're all human. We don't know about the needs of each other. However, there is a necessity to talk about those disappointments, and not because we are trying to put someone down, but because we're creating clarity between ourselves and the other person. And this is I'm going to say something now that's really hard to believe in, that conflict in any relationship becomes the root of intimacy. In other words, conflict draws people together where they have to look at one another. They have to face one another. They have to feel with one another. And they have to work all that out together. And when you can do that, you will feel grateful for that person when they hang in there with you. When they hang in there with you in a way that says, well, like, hey, I expected this from you, and maybe that was not realistic. Maybe I need to temper that. Maybe we need to grow together, because conflict will force us to grow together. And couples, relationships that force conflict and talk about conflict are the ones that grow, are the ones that feed our soul. They're the ones that are going to be with us in hard times and in good times. They are the key to happiness. So gratitude then, taking how does communication connect with gratitude? Gratitude doesn't make a lot of rules for human behavior. It just makes honesty the key to our intersections with one another. And gratitude should be easy for us to express. You know,
So would you say then that there are certain specific benefits that come with gratitude that also affects our health?
Yeah. Okay, so gratitude promotes emotions of appreciation, emotions of thankfulness, emotions of love, emotions of loyalty, and it gives us a feeling of positivity. So instead of walking away disgruntled because someone didn't do something or say something that we didn't like, we walk away feeling more appreciative. So it should be easy for us to express gratitude. And if it's not, okay, what do I mean by that? I mean, thank you. I'm so appreciative that you did this for me. I'm so grateful that you're in my life. I appreciate the fact that I come home every night and we can sit down and eat a meal together. I appreciate that if I call you, you're going to return my call. I appreciate the way you're handling your problem. In other words, gratitude gives us a way of seeing people in a very positive way instead of negativity and trying to reshape them and remake them. I think that's what the key between happiness and gratitude is. I said in the beginning of the show, expect nothing, and then everything is a gift.
It is, truly. And, you know, I what I've experienced too, Dr. Lewis, is that there's so much narcissism and so much, you know, unintelligent emotional, you know, I call it emotional intelligence. And I always say, well, I'm pretty mature if I can handle the feedback that I get, or I'm pretty mature, I think that, but I realize that the emotional intelligence is not a real high priority these days, and narcissism seems to be running rampant. So I think sometimes that those are the basis of not getting to the gratitude part, and probably what your work revolves around, of getting people there or past that.
I mean, yes, a very, very good point. I mean, look at our schools. I mean, we teach history, science, mathematics, everything. We don't teach life. We're not giving our children a background in mental health. There should be a course as important as mathematics and geography is life. How do we live? What are social principles? You talk about, I love the term emotional maturity. And emotional maturity comes to us in many ways. Certainly, if we are taught in life about emotions, how important they are, from kindergarten all the way up.
Yeah, and you know what the course should be called? Dr. Lewis, the course in the schools should be called Gratitude Can Make You Physically Healthier.
Because I mean, in the schools, there must be a course for all children, in every age, about how to be healthy emotionally, mental health. Mental health in America, we know, is very devoid, and people want it, but they can't afford it. And the insurance companies don't want to pay for it. We're kind of like going off here, and yet there's something very important. Because sometimes we find that people who have a little are more grateful than people who have a lot. I have a lot of people that come to my office who are extremely wealthy that worry about money.
Right, so Bob Marley.
This
is really cool. Bob Marley did an interview not that long ago, and said somebody had asked him, "Are you rich? You know, do you have a lot of money, $1 million in the bank?" He said, "Well," he kept asking question with a question. He said, "What do you consider rich?" And he said, "Oh, $1 million in the bank." He says, "No, then I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy." And he says, "Well, what about your relationships or what about your music?" He said, "Look, I live because of life, and I enjoy every day, and material possessions and money will never do that for me." And I just thought that was so profound that, you know, that him, who has all those children and, you know, probably...
Well, that's how we live in the islands, you know,
in the islands,
we're thankful for everything we have. I remember being thankful for a water barrel.
Right.
I remember being thankful when my parents had the first indoor plumbing put in. I remember being thankful just to get a pair of shoes. I remember being thankful just to have friends to walk to school with. Because I think you're so right, Dr. Lewis, that my mother and father, the first thing they would say every day when we woke up was, "Thank God for life." And when you thank God for life, everything else falls into place because you're so grateful just to be alive.
Well, you're grateful for life.
Yeah, and a lot of people in the United States, they're not grateful for the little things they have.
Entitled.
Well, so your parents were teaching you an attitude towards life, and the attitude is gratitude.
Oh, that's profound.
It's gratitude, and that gratitude makes every single thing a gift. whether it's a bucket that collects water that you're going to use in washing your clothes or making your food. We have a problem when there's abundance, because sometimes we get confused that abundance is being rich, like what you, the story you were just telling. It's not. Abundance is only stuff, but richness is emotional maturity. Richness is having our head screwed on correctly so that we know what's important. That which is invisible to the eye is important. It's more important than anything. And my work and all of my writing is what I call psycho-spiritual, where we're putting spirituality back where it belongs, in the life of the individual. When Jesus and the prophets taught, they didn't have psychology and cognition and all of that nonsense. They talked about life. Life as it was, because life is the most sacred event in our existence.
So gratitude is spiritual, Doctor. And from what you're saying, I can just see that I'm sure some of your clients, when they leave your office, if they practice what you tell them to do, I bet they sleep better, they feel better, they're happier. Because,
they feel better.
Yeah. So
yeah,
talk to us a little bit about when a client comes back a month later and say, look, doctor, my mental health is improved. My mental hygiene is improved. My psychological health is improved. Talk to us about, you know, the results of being grateful and thankful for whatever people have.
Well, when we clear away the negativity that many of us carry about life and people and love and all of that stuff, it's easier to be lighter. It's easier to be happier. It's easier to be grateful, because we don't have that dark side pulling us down. So in the work that I do, and I said earlier that I talk to people about their lives, because their lives and their childhood, not their lives now, because it is the childhood that sets the pace for our entire existence. It is them, children. We teach children attitudes.
So Dr. Lewis,
when we want to teach children about the earth, we take them to a farm and we see, this is how strawberries grow. This is how apples grow. We take them out in the garden and we let them dig a hole and put a flower in, so that there's a connection between nature and nurture. There's a connection between life and the earth we live it on. That our feet are on this earth, and the earth is a gift to us.
So, Dr. Lewis, how about self-esteem? Do you see a change in self-esteem with people?
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Ellen.
Oh, that's Allie.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Allie, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was asking if what happens to one's self-esteem?
One's self-esteem?
Yes. When you're grateful and thankful, does it help you mentally and help your self-esteem?
Oh, absolutely. It helps your self-esteem. As a matter of fact, research shows that people who are humble and grateful are happier people, even when they have less. So the story we were saying earlier, where you have a lot, and we presume, this is why we're always saying, well, how can these rich people be unhappy? Because they have a lot of stuff, but they don't have the stuff of life.
Yeah, would you say when people are grateful, it helps them with emotions such as envy and jealousy and resentment and frustration?
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people running around in the United States running for office who probably need to be more grateful and thankful and stop harboring these kind of feelings, these ill feelings of fear and anxiety and resentment and division. Maybe you ought to have that class that you're talking about for everyone, Doctor, because I can see that we all need to become a more kinder, gentler, more mindful and thankful nation in order to heal ourselves.
Yeah, I think that anyone listening to the show today, you're going to at some point have someone do something for you today. And when they do whatever they do, make sure that you say, thank you. I appreciate you did this for me. And if you have a hard time doing it, ask yourself why. Why am I having a hard time saying and acknowledging the goodness of the giver so that I become a good receiver?
Wow.
So a gratitude, a person that is grateful is a good giver and they're a good receiver. They receive the moment they receive is a spiritual moment. The moment you say thankful, the moment you say thank you, the moment you say I love you, the moment you say I appreciate you, these are spiritual moments. These are moments when God is with you and the other person.
Right, it is confirmed that when you're grateful, it reduces depression, increase your happiness, and improve your overall well-being as well.
Absolutely. Acknowledging goodness is a blessed moment. It is more important than going to church. It is more important than saying a rosary or reading scripture. Jesus did none of that. Buddha did none of that. Muhammad did none of that. They walked around. They talked to people. They healed them. They encouraged them. There was no rituals except human interaction. The rituals that you, each one of us, encounter with one another are the rituals that are the most sacred and the most spiritual events of every day.
What a great conversation.
Wow, I'd love to have her back.
Yeah, we'll definitely have her back, as we have quite a few times. Yeah, are you still doing your podcast
yes.
as well?
No, I'm not doing them anymore.
Okay.
I am being treated now for breast cancer, and so that is taking up some of my time. I'm still practicing, but I don't work as much. I do a lot of writing.
Give our listeners your blog, because I know that we've seen your blog and follow it quite often.
Facebook and Twitter and my blog, every single day I'm writing.
Okay.
So those writings, and I receive anyone who wants to be a friend of mine on Facebook. I'm close to 5,000. Now, I think they cut you off at that.
Yep.
But you can always reach me on Twitter as well.
And we'll make sure we put all of that.
Yep,
we'll make sure we put all of that information on our website. But unfortunately, our segment has come to a close. Dr. Ann Modi Lewis, thank you so much again for calling in. We're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for today. And here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we'll see everybody next week here at Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Okay.
One day, Pete.
Hey, I'm grateful for you too, and God bless.
God bless.
Thank you, Doctor. Bye bye.